Our thanks to Bob Bigelow for joining us for the first 2 hours of the program. We're shifting gears now, not entirely, though. We're going to be joined by Dr. Roger Lear, one of the most important leaders in the search for physical evidence in the field of ufology. As listeners to this program know, he's been on the program many times. He and his surgical team have performed all kinds of surgeries on alleged alien abductees, and we might talk about that a little bit tonight. But the primary focus of our conversation will be this amazing incident in Turkey, a UFO case at a place called Kumburgaz. And Dr. Lear is not only familiar with it, he was there when it happened. And we're going to jump right into that right after this on Coast to Coast AM. I'm joined now by Dr. Roger Lear, well known to listeners of this program. He's a guy who's spent many years and traveled all over the world looking for physical evidence of the UFO regarding the UFO mystery, and joins us tonight to talk about an incident in Turkey. But before we jump into that, Roger, I want to ask you about disclosure. I don't know. Are you part of the Citizens Hearing and Disclosure coming up in Washington?
Well, George, guilty as charged.
What's your take on disclosure? I don't know if you got to hear any of the interview with Bob Bigelow. I think he generally supports the idea to a point. He thinks a confirmation without specific information is more likely to happen. Give me your general thoughts on it.
Well, I have great respect for Bob and great respect for his opinions. And I agree that there's something that seems to be in the wind that's coming to a head now. As you know, this FBI document, which is not new, has gone viral all over the internet, and it seems to be maybe a soft attempt to bring notice to the UFO subject, to the general public. But Steve Bassett, as you know, has been working on this for a long time, and he's responsible for the citizens' hearing that's going to occur in three. There'll be three of them that will happen. The first one will be in April, and I intend to be there with numerous other researchers and some military witnesses from all over the world. So I think it's going to have great impact. Now looking at the subject in general, let's say the United States doesn't take it rightful place in the world and at least disclose some information on ET. How would it look for the country if, a renegade country like Korea or China or even Brazil, which is now so independent, releases that information? So it doesn't seem very presidential or even practical for the U.S. to keep this information, close at hand forever. George, you and I have been around a long time, and 1947 was 1947. And at that time, there's probably good reason to put a lid on it. We didn't know. We just come out of a war. We didn't know exactly, even with our intelligence, what was going on in Russia or Germany or somewhere else. So there was probably a good reason to conceal this, but it's gone on now for quite a few years.
I guess when you get into disclosure, and by the way, I got a nice email from Stephen Bassett in the break announcing it's a draft of an announcement that'll go out to media outlets all over the world, I guess, tomorrow, that basically outlines what will happen at the National Press Club April 29th to May 3rd. A number of high-profile witnesses, including Dr. Edgar Mitchell and yourself, will be there. What is the ultimate goal? What is it? What do you see coming out of it? I guess it really depends on what kind of media coverage the event gets.
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up, George. That's why I like talking to you, because you're a thinker. The way I look at it, who cares whether CNN or ABC or NBC or CBS or Al Jazeera show up? This is going to be streamed out live to millions and millions of people all over the world. Now, if that doesn't just give a little impetus to those that have this information that something, better happen, what kind of people are we dealing with?
But you got to hope that CNN would show up, that CBS would be there, that they would take it seriously and play it down the middle like a legitimate news story. instead of making fun of it, which is what's happened at some events at the National Press Club in the past.
Well, I'm all for that, too, in practicality. But Edgar Mitchell and myself did a 2009. We did a nice conference and presentation at the National Press Club, and there was a lot of press club, people there from world press, to both the television and so on. And he got about maybe 5 to 10 minutes out, and I got about nothing. So what good is it do? It's a different world today. You can get information out to tremendous sums of people over the internet where that wasn't possible years ago.
What form would disclosure take? Does it take an announcement from the president, from the Pentagon, from Congress? How do you see it? And what would you disclose? I mean, it would seem to me there are limits on what you could say, but what would be sufficient from your point of view?
Well, I think that they would have to, as I stated before, make a soft disclosure that, let's say, they could use whatever excuse that they wanted, that we are now able to say that NASA has found X amount of extrasolar planets that are in the Goldilocks zone, and there has been a lot of information now coming in to the possibility that there is has been contact with extraterrestrial races with this planet. But for our protection of our own people, we have kept this close to the chest so that people wouldn't become alarmed. In other words, they would have to release it in a way that they were doing the best thing for common man.
Let's shift gears now to talk about Turkey a little bit. Apparently, this is we're focusing on one particular incident that you witnessed, but actually, this is a part of a broader series of sightings in this same area of Turkey, or all over Turkey, I guess, from 2007 through 2009. What are your thoughts on why there would be UFOs, if that's what they are, over Turkey in the regions where they've been seen? Is there some explanation for it?
Well, George, I was there during those years, and I think 2009, when I came back, I was so tired of looking at UFOs, I wouldn't have bothered to look up anymore. It got to be like looking at traffic on the freeway, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
We had a conference in Istanbul, and about 3,000 people showed up, and I'd like to mention the fact that those conferences in Turkey attract people who are around 35 years of age. You know, the biggest thing we have here in the United States is the Congress that occurs in Phoenix, which is, a large event and probably gets 1,000 to 1,500 people. But most of them are like talking to the choir. When the audience in Turkey is there, as I said, they're a younger crowd. I brought educational materials to sell, and when I was on the podium for 10 minutes, somebody passed me a note, "You have more stuff, it's all gone." So they really seek knowledge. But another thing that's different about Turkey is the Turkish government makes no attempt whatsoever to conceal anything. Now, they had every single television news truck possible that was broadcasting right from the conference, looking up, because, as I said, UFOs, whatever you want to call them, were going by constantly. And these were saucers and cigar-shaped craft and so on. So that was during the day, and that went on for several days. The incident with the material that we have up on the Coast website was something that I didn't expect to participate in, but was asked to go, and decided to do so, and we can talk about that as a separate subject.
Well, let's jump right into it. I mean, was this sort of a field trip? Hey, let's leave the conference. Let's go out and see if we can rustle up a UFO, get lucky.
Well, the conference was over, and during the conference, there was a gentleman by the name of Yeltsin, who's become quite famous as a photographer for the phenomena. And he would get feelings that there would be UFOs outside, run outside, and a few people would go out and look, and sure enough, they'd be passing over. He said, why don't we go down the European coast? Now, I don't know if most people know or not, but Turkey sits on two continents. So on the European side, and it's totally surrounded by water. There's water, oceans everywhere, and bays and so on. So there was a small town on the European coast called Comburgas, and they obtained like a motel there that was right on the beach. And so they decided to stay up from 12 midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning and film out over the sea. So I'm kind of a night owl anyway. So I figured, well, what the heck? You know, I'll go with a few other people and we'll see if we see anything. Not that I expected to see anything. The weather was good. There was no clouds in the sky. The cameras were being set up. One year, Jaime Musan was there with his crew. We had a double camera crew. We surveyed the water for as far as we could see the night of the filming that we actually became so famous. And when we looked up in the sky, there was a big full moon. There was no oil rigs in the water. There was no ships passing by. There was nothing to reflect light. And so as a test, the camera was focused on the moon with about no zoom. And it had capability, had a 300-millimeter lens, as I recall, and an electronic doubler, which can take you to 600 millimeters, which is pretty close. So we were looking at the moon, and we noticed that below the moon, there was a little bright object, which we thought could have been an ordinary planet or a star coming up. So we started to focus on that, and even with the camera on sticks, which means on a tripod, there was quite a breeze blowing, so it got a little bit of motion to the camera. But then we began to see this projection of a multitude of lights, and the lights were in a semicircle. And as we pushed on the object and got tighter and tighter on it, we could begin to see the shape. Now, the interesting thing here was that the craft itself was being backlit by the very bright moon. I mean, you think, well, gee, bright sky, bright moon, you're not going to see anything. But in this case, the moon was a big help. So it essentially lit up the exterior portion of the craft, which initially, when we saw it, looked a bit like a boomerang because we weren't seeing it straight on. So we couldn't tell the exact shape of the craft. But then we went to full film on it, and we could see that it was either a boomerang or we were looking at a certain portion of a cylindrical craft, a saucer. Till this day, I don't know, and I don't know what the analysts have said about the shape. But it was either one of the two, either a boomerang shape with a round front, or it was a complete saucer. It did turn a couple of times, so we were able to see the side, and it looked like it could have been saucer-shaped. But then we got the biggest shock of our lives because we could see light that was emanating from the internal portion of the craft in three areas. One was directly in front, and one was on either side. Now, this was a full-on front view. And folks can look at the Coast website, and they can not only see the video, but please go to the Chilean analysis, because there are some still photos there which show what we saw when we looked in the central portion. That was, a big shock to look and see, not a Rorschach type thing, but actual entities that were, whatever they were doing, looking out the front of the craft is just the same as we were looking at them.
It's almost like it's a performance. It sounds like it's a performance staged for your benefit.
That's a good point. Someone sent me an email. The Chilean analysis was very, very well done. The analysis was done actually in two places. One was the Turbak University in Istanbul, which is government owned, and then it went from there onto a number of different television programs with yays and nays. And it's a phony, it's a this, it's a that. And then they got the professors from the university and the government involved, and they made the clear statement that this was, no hoax, it wasn't photoshopped, it was a real thing. Then it went to Chile, and this Chilean videographer, who was a video analyst, spent more time looking at the occupants of the craft than the craft itself, and made very specific isolations. As you know, frames go by in a video camera at 30 frames per second, and each frame has two visual fields. So he divided each frame into the two fields and was able to get a tremendous evaluation of not only the occupants of the craft, but what they were doing. So someone sent me an email just before we went on the air here and said, do you think that they knew you were there? And I wrote back sort of jestingly saying that, well, maybe they were filming us or filming me while we were, filming them. And that I hope, they got the picture they wanted, but it was real late at night, and I don't look so good at that time. So,
well, who knows what kind of lens they have? You might have made the net. You might have made the network news back on the planet Krypton or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the bunch of weird-looking guys on the beach that are looking at us.
We're going to go to a break here in a minute, or a little bit over a minute. Share with me the conversation as your group is standing there on the beach watching this unfold. What's it like? A pretty excited moment, I would think.
You bet. A lot of it was in Turkish, so I didn't understand what they were saying, to tell you the truth. But those that spoke English were, oh, my God, look at what we got. Oh, this is fantastic. Is this real? Is it believable? All time which, George, a dog is standing on the beach at the water's edge, looking straight at the object that we're looking at, just barking his bloody head off. And you can hear this on the video.
This video, of course, it quickly, as you mentioned, it quickly becomes big news in Turkey. It's covered everywhere.
Oh, it's covered all over the world. It was playing on YouTube. But unfortunately, these were copies of copies of copies. And what I sent Coast was a copy of the original film. So it was the same film that the Chilean analyst used, and it's much more clear, so you can see the entities with the big black eyes and large heads, skinny necks, and one other one that has even bigger eyes and a beaky looking sort of face. I don't know how to describe it, like a cross between certainly not a reptilian, but maybe an insectoid and a gray. I mean, it just had two big almond-shaped eyes that were twice as big as a gray and kind of a beaky-looking face. And then the Chilean analyst was able to analyze their arms, getting a good look at them, and they were very thin arms. So they were operating some kind of apparatus, equipment, or whatever it was.
Well, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the analysis that was done and what this clearly was not, because I know the skeptics threw out all kinds of stuff to see what would stick at the wall. We're talking with Dr. Roger Lear about a dramatic UFO incident in Turkey. We're talking with Dr. Roger Lear about an amazing UFO incident, which was videotaped in Turkey, has been analyzed and reanalyzed and evaluated by government and scientists. And it still seems to stand the test of time as a truly unidentified object in the sky. More on that in a moment when we come back to Coast AM. Dr. Roger Lear, you were just describing some of the analysis of the video of the Kumburgaz incident near Istanbul, I guess. Tell me this, does Turkey have the equivalent of debunkers, the kind of, is there a Turkish Phil Klass who comes out and slams videos like this when they pop up?
Turkey is loaded with debunkers and skeptics, and they make themselves very pronounced because they have the ability to get on major television channels. And so they'll not only disagree with you, but they'll shout and argue with you on a TV format, a little bit different than here. Now, I haven't had too many problems with the skeptics and debunkers in this country in regards to implants because I consider myself the plumber. Somebody has a clogged drain, and I'll go clean out the drain, but I'll give the contents to somebody else. So if they want to argue about the contents of the implants or the material they're made out of or the age or whatever they want to argue about, they'll have to argue with the scientific community because it doesn't come from me. All I'm doing is reporting what the academic science is telling me. So I don't have that kind of a problem. But when you deal with something like a video, I got involved because I was there looking through the camera. So it's my word that, if people don't believe me or what I say, then they don't have to believe the video. But it's just undergone such a tremendous amount of analysis and so on that it's not just my word. I mean, I remember talking to you when the craft went down near Laughlin, and I think you went down and investigated that incident, and then you told the story about the trucks on the highway and stopping and having an interlude in the peak in a truck. Well, if they didn't believe you, they wanted to debunk you, they could. It's your word. But, George Knapp has a pretty good reputation, so it withstands the test of time.
So when this video hits, it gets on Turkish TV, it goes all over the world. These guys come out of the woodwork and they throw out a whole bunch of different excuses. Oh, well, that's a lighthouse, right? That's an oil ship or.
Right, lighthouse reflecting on some kind of object which makes an illusion of the sky. Another one was a passing ship that was probably passing by, and the lights reflected off the water. I mean, just on and on with the
Chinese lantern.
Chinese lantern set up. That's a famous one. I remember one time I was giving a presentation in Marina Del Rey, and I was about three quarters of the way through the presentation, and I had a fellow raise his hand, and I acknowledged him, and he said, in a very loud, clear voice, he said, "Dr. Lear, oh, why don't you submit these specimens of implants to the American Skeptic Society?" And I said, "They never have and never will." And he said, "Well, why is that?" And I said, "Because you guys are psychics." And with that, he just came apart. He went, "What do you mean, psychics? We don't even believe in psychics." Da, 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 da. And I said, "Well, I don't know what else you'd call it." I said, "Because you seem to know everything about everything, but you never bother to look at the data." And the audience started laughing, and they essentially laughed him out of the room.
Well, skepticism, as I'm sure you'd agree, whether in Turkey or the USA or anywhere, skepticism is a good thing in this crazy field, but there's a difference between skepticism and debunking.
Yeah, there is. If one scientist came up and said, I don't think that is what this is. It's something else because the material is showing non-isotopic ratios because it may have been bartered by such and such and such with a scientific theory and a point of view. That's good, healthy skepticism. But even the skeptic societies, yeah, you can call them debunkers, but I don't know how many of them have never looked at any data of anything and still render an opinion, besides which I had the honor of being sitting next to a young lady who was part of the Skeptic Society, who reached into a briefcase and pulled out a big black binder and opened it up, and she says, "What's your claim to fame?" And I said, "Well, I guess if you're talking about the removal of objects from alien abductees, which they call implants. Oh, you're the implant guy. Oh, okay. And I was sitting right next to her, and she runs her finger down the table of contents until it comes to implants, flips over to the page, and there it is. So they've got everything from ghosts to whatever. It's all pre-written.
So they don't need to hear the information or look at the individual case information. Now back to the analysis of this particular video. I guess the analysis is so pointed that it definitely rules out a whole lot of stuff. It's not a plane. It's not a helicopter. It's not a planet, right?
Yeah, it's not Superman either. And I probably should give credit to the Chilean analyst whose name is Mario Valdez. And if our listeners are following this, looking at the Coast website, if they go down about, one quarter down the first page, they'll see a really good picture of the entity that I was talking about. It's kind of a beaky nose with black eyes. And there's actually, it looks like there's only two standing there or sitting there, but there's actually three. So they can get a really good picture of it. These, and as I said, these are not Rorschachs where, you know, you say spiders or whatever else you want to see.
So is it possible that some government creates this, I guess, that it's created for some disinformation purpose or just to mess with your heads or to see how generate a reaction?
Well, if it was a stunt, let's put it that way, by the government, number one, it would be very costly. And number two, they would have to engineer beings that were in very specific costumes. They'd have to be the same costumes, of course, that millions of abductees have talked about all over the world. I've been in 42 countries in 7 years, George. And although there is some differences in what abductees report, most of them will describe the same entities, which is, number one, the typical bumper sticker gray. Describe reptoids and insectoids and so on. But the things you hear from various countries really don't vary that much.
In addition to this video that we posted on the website, there are a heck of a lot of other photos taken over a couple of years there in that same area. And some of the photos reminded me of Gulf Breeze, the lights and craft that have been seen over Gulf Breeze. But talk about the other photographic and video evidence that exists. I mean, because you look at it, it's a pretty big pile of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I sent Lex a lot of stills and stuff from 2007 to 2009. And as I said, there's a number of different, even daylight sighting crafts that were filmed by the television crews from all the large television stations in Turkey. But we see crafts that are round. We see cigar-shaped crafts. And we see them in large numbers. Now, originally you said, why? Why are we seeing them in Turkey? Why isn't there that many, over Oregon or someplace? The one answer to that I seem to define, but I can't really define it or understand it totally, is that it seems where there's a concentration of uranium deposits or uranium mines or something nuclear going on, you find more craft than other places. Now, that the area, the mountains around Turkey, there is a number of different uranium mining installations going on. So I don't know whether that's the reason or whether it's something else. And besides that, I always like to warn everybody, if anybody thinks they have all the answers to these questions, the listener better put a finger in each ear and run as fast as they can, because we don't.
Yeah, that's a fact. No one that I've ever talked to really has the ultimate truth in this. They've got opinions, that's for sure. Are there military bases in that area?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of military bases. Fortunately, Turkey is United States friendly, and it's a very unusual country to begin with because, people consider it a Muslim country. And although it is considered a Muslim country, You can find a very large Jewish section, a large Christian section. It's just a hodgepodge, and it's the strangest form of Muslimism that I've ever seen, because the prayer calls go on all day. I happen to be there once during Ramadan. That's not the time you want to go to Istanbul, because all the stores closed and they had lost my baggage on the plane. So I was there with nothing but what I was wearing, and had to wring my underwear out in the sink every night and dry it with a hair dryer.
That's an image I'm going to have a hard time getting out of my head there, Roger. You mentioned something earlier that really jumped out at me. You said something very fleetingly that the government came out and said something about the video. The government issued a statement about the legitimacy or lack illegitimacy of the video?
Oh, the government first publicized it, the Comburgus video. I sent Lex clips of the major newspaper articles. Then it was done, as I said, by a government university in Istanbul. The analysis was done, and then the government came out and made the statement that this was a legitimate video, it wasn't doctored, and so on. And those I sent photos of all those articles too. So it wasn't just one, you know, entity who was, you know, there's been other close situations in Turkey and some of the other cities where UFOs have almost collided with landing aircraft, and that hits the newspapers and the news too. So basically, you know, they talk about it. The government doesn't mind talking about it, or anybody else.
That's maybe the Turkish government didn't get the memo from the USA. Hey, fellas, you're not supposed to talk about that. But you said you've been in 40 plus countries over the past couple of years. Is that more the rule than the exception?
No, that's not the rule. I mean, I've been in places like Brazil. This is long before Brazil became energy dependent. But Brazil is one of the few places in the world where you can pick up a guidebook and it tells you where to go see UFOs. Other countries like Mexico, very open. Appears newspaper, radio. Jaime has a continuous show going on down there. Portugal is another place where they're very liberal and open. But UK, no way. I've done several radio and television shows in the UK, and boy, their commentators are against you from the beginning of the show all the way to the end. Very antagonistic. And in a way sound like debunkers themselves. It just depends on where you go. Middle East, some places in other places in the Middle East. Israel, for example, is fairly open on the subject of UFOs. Russia now is quite open. They'll have it in the newspapers or on television. But as I say, there's many places they're not. The largest organization in the world, George, the largest organization for UFOs is in China. And you have to have a degree. There's 30,000 people that belong to the UFO group in China, and you have to have a degree, a master's or a PhD, in order to belong to the organization. But they don't get much publicity over there. If something happens, it might become public knowledge, and then again, it might not.
Is the common denominator when you discuss the openness of other governments on this topic, is the common denominator of those who don't want to talk about it is that they're close friends with us?
I think you could draw quite a line there, really. I mean, you talk about, in a way, I should say, you can draw a line, because France, who is supposed to be an ally of the United States, went ahead and released a lot of information. Canada released a lot of information. So if they were totally allied with the United States, and the United States is withholding the information, then, why would they do it? But, if you look at the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Australia, You do get more publicity in Australia than you do in the United States as far as the public is concerned. But those are all countries which are all aligned with us, which leads me to believe that even if disclosure occurs by the U.S. government or some other government, I really think deeply in my heart and soul that the total sum of knowledge of this visitation and what it's all about is no longer in the hands of government, period.
The Comburgus video, is that going to be the focus of your presentation to the citizens' hearing at the end of this month, or are you talking about implants?
No, I'll be talking about implants. There's an article that will be coming out soon in the Huffington Post. They did one on me once before. John Greenwald with the Black Vault found a document from the White House, from the OSTP. That's the Office of Science and Technology Policy, that was handed to President Obama. And there I am spread out all over the article. And this was a time when he was looking for Congress to approve funds for a public option for the his medical plan bill. And the fellow that wrote the article didn't, he didn't miss anything. It was very, very accurate, crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's. I mean, all the scientific information was there. And he chided Obama that if this was true and what our research was showing was true, this could be a tremendous benefit to the healthcare system, the savings of millions of dollars with advanced technology. And he put an "and if it was not true and it was some kind of a secret research that was going on, the aspect of it that would help the public should also be made public knowledge." So that was quite a document that I didn't learn about until this year.
That's amazing and encouraging. I would think it would be encouraging for somebody to at least to be reading about it at that level. We're going to take a break in about a minute, so it's not enough time to get into the implant topic, but I do want to touch on that after the break and then open up the phone lines. Basically, simply put, you're still doing this research. Are you still doing surgeries?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've had a little unwanted vacation because I came down with what they're calling shingles today, which is a horse of another color. I think shingles used to be herpes zoster, and then suddenly it became related to the chickenpox virus, but it attacked my left leg and left me with a hole in the ankle about the size of a baseball. So I'm 40 pounds lighter, but I'm back again.
And are you? Can you give us an idea of the volume of cases, how many in a year you might do?
Well, I've done a total of 16 cases, and we produce 17 objects. Now, with advanced technology, because, you know, as time goes by, the machinery for looking at scientific things becomes better and better and better. So who in the heck, 10 years ago was going to look for nanotechnology or carbon nanotubes? We didn't. The scientists were arguing whether it could even exist in nature or even make one.
I definitely want to get into that, the analysis of these 17 objects on the other side. We're talking with Dr. Roger Lear about some of the objects he's taken out of the feet and the bodies of alleged alien abductees. We'll continue the conversation and open up the phone lines with your calls and questions.